Now, let's talk about the space weaponry, first of all. Now, are we talking about weapons on this planet that can shoot into space, or are we talking about weapons that are circling the planet right now that we launched?
Well, we have to consider both. I mean, first of all, when it comes to weapon systems that we don't know too much about, weapon systems like HAARP, that is located in Alaska and presumably in other locations such as Arecibo in Puerto Rico, that mechanism is able to activate the ionosphere in ways where you can have very high discharges of plasma gases that would shoot off in all directions. So that would basically form a particle beam weapon in outer space. Now, a lot of the people who do the research on HAARP, they always consider it in terms of, well, what does it mean in terms of the population on Earth and different territories? I mean, that's what they're looking at. Like, for example, Nick Begich, who I've met and is an excellent researcher, in his book, Angels Don't Play This HAARP, I mean, that's really what he's looking at, is how the HAARP system is going to affect the surface area of the planet in terms of the population, in terms of the land, in terms of how planes or other devices are operating in the atmosphere, or ballistic missiles possibly. But the real question is, well, what does HAARP do when it is used to generate these discharges, these ionic discharges in the ionosphere, if there are vehicles in that vicinity? So, for example, if they wanted to disrupt the electrical systems of satellites or UFOs, ET ships, they could use the HAARP to do that, and it would form an excellent particle beam weapon. Now, of course, this is a covert operation, because officially HAARP is just performing some kind of benign research of the upper atmosphere and the aurora. That's the weapon system. Those sorts of weapon systems we're not sure about, but we can speculate given the patents that exist, the disclosures of experts, the sort of thing that Nick Begich has been doing for a number of years, which is excellent work. But there has been the public...
Are you there, Michael?
Yes, there's been the publication of a very important book by Douglas Beeson, and it's called The E-Bomb. And it outlines the development of directed energy weapons over the last 40 years or so. And this basically outlines space weapons or weapons that can be used as space weapons that are kind of white projects that we know about. So these are things that can be deployed from the ground or actually placed in space as well, and can be used against targets, whether it's satellites, whether it's extraterrestrial vehicles. That's another category. And of course, there's always the possibility of nuclear weapons being up in space in terms of certain satellites having nuclear detonators or nuclear devices on them that could be used as a kind of space weapon as well. So we need to consider those as well. But, of course, that's not the sort of weapon that's going to be kind of admitted openly. So, but certainly the potential is there for that kind of weaponry to exist.
Do we know if our astronauts ever had any weaponry up there, and if they ever fired it, if they had it?
I haven't come across that in terms of NASA missions, that the astronauts had that kind of weaponry. I mean, the way I understand this whole phenomenon, the way in which it's been successfully managed, is that you actually have a kind of parallel system. That you have a parallel military system that has all this technology and that deploys it and can very easily have a number of manned vehicles out in space that can actually deploy advanced weapon systems such as lasers or even nuclear detonators. Now, there's a very real possibility that can exist as a parallel system. But as far as NASA is concerned, and as far as the conventional military is concerned, the NASA missions have not performed that kind of military function. That there haven't been any weapon systems deployed on there, as far as I know. There have been too many astronauts who have come forward to talk about what has happened. And if they did have a weapon system up there, I don't think they would have talked about it. I think that would have leaked in some way, but that hasn't happened. So I don't think they do play a role in the use or deployment of weapons in space.
Well, you know, if these weapons are indeed real, we are light years ahead of everybody else. And to me, what are we so concerned about other nations getting conventional weaponry when we might have these things, Michael?
Well, I think the real question here is exactly what is it that is of concern in terms of other nations getting more sophisticated weapon systems. I think there is a very real concern that as we have more sophisticated computer systems coming online, the kind of computing systems that are available today are just so much more powerful than the computing systems that were used, say, 10, 20 years ago to develop the modern conventional arsenal that the US has. So I think with the current technology that exists in terms of computers and that are freely available, supercomputers and so forth, I think that many nations now have the capability to develop advanced weapon systems. And some of those weapon systems would be the sort of things that might not be publicly available. For example, in 1997, the Secretary of Defense at the time, Secretary of Defense Cohen, he talked about weapon systems that could cause earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and seismic activities, and that this was something that terrorists could deploy. So this is a Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, back in 97, talking about this. So I think there was the understanding, or there is the understanding, that these kinds of sophisticated technologies that could be used as weapons can be developed by many nations. And I think this is part of the rationale for why the US is so intent on bringing the rogue nations into conformity with international norms, because I think they understand that the North Koreas and the Irans of this world, that if these states aren't brought into conformity, if somehow they develop some of these weapon systems, we can have disaster, because those nations aren't really behaving in a responsible way. I mean, they can be very reckless, and they have short-term kind of agendas, and that can be very dangerous. So I think that's probably why they are very concerned about the conventional weapon systems of Iran and of North Korea.